when you're thinking about the specific portions of primetime, was there, you know, one or two things that you wanted to focus on to make sure we have to get this right, to make sure that this event is what we want it to be?
The education was important for us. The other piece is the exhibit hall and getting our members, you know, close to our vendor partners. As soon as we do get back together, we're going to have a great big primetime party. But until then, we do want to make sure that we have a way to talk to these members. There's a place for it going forward. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what 2021 brings.
Sitting here just a couple of weeks removed from the end of October, which, aside from Halloween, also featured Nationwide's first ever virtual primetime show. For those who attended, you know, it felt like at the time it was a whirlwind of an event. Certainly not like having been in person and attended a show in person. We would have been in Las Vegas during that week, but as it turned out, we were sitting at home, virtually attending sessions and keynotes and, you know, diving into booth visits and talking with vendors and members alike. And still, it had that vibe, that feel of being a part of or participating in primetime. And that's a kudos to, you know, a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of teams, technology teams and you know, vendor partners and partners we worked with to make that happen. But If you want to call it the heart of primetime that keeps the show beating, that's certainly Melissa Stenson, our VP of Member Experience, who really drives what is the primetime experience. And you know, Mel worked tirelessly. You can ask anyone at Nationwide over the weeks and months leading up to virtual primetime to ensure that the event was a massive success. You know, it's a testament to her and, you know, what she was able to pull off and accomplish, pulling so many different strings and, you know, making sure that it went off without a hitch, you know, and really wanted to take the opportunity after the show to talk to Mel, kind of get her perspective. You know, she's someone that has experience and has had a career in the event space and certainly is no stranger to primetime, having worked with Nationwide over a number of years to plan the in-person show. So she has that unique perspective of, you know, what it takes to plan an in-person primetime and then now, you know, converting that to this virtual experience in these times of COVID. And just it was a really awesome chance to pick Mel's brain, you know, as, like I said, an events professional about, you know, not only the changes to primetime itself, but the changes to the events space in general. You know, this industry has been through so much over the past 10 months and, you know, I know she knows a lot of people in the space and, you know, what they're having to go through right now to adjust these events on the fly. Really every industry has been impacted by this, but, you know, it kind of comes to bear when you're planning events, just how much the event space has been impacted. So, really just a cool opportunity to, like I said, pick her brain and, see what it took to get this show off the ground. You know, what she learned from the experience and, you know, what it could mean going forward for prime times and Nationwide and our membership. So really appreciate Mel taking the time. So let's just go ahead and dive into this podcast, the Independent Thinking Podcast with Melissa Stenson, our VP of Member Experience. All right, we are back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and this is an episode that's been a long time coming. So I'm not going to call you out, Mel, even though I sound like I just did. But, you know, we've been waiting to talk about virtual primetime and, you know, get you on the podcast. But we're finally doing it. So I'm excited to have you on. For those who don't know, Melissa Stenson, our VP of Member Experience for Nationwide Marketing Group. Thank you for finally taking the time.
You did call me out, but thank you very much. I'm glad to be here and happy to finally get to talk with you about the virtual show.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get to it, I want to give you the chance for anyone. I feel like everyone knows Melissa Stenson, but for those who don't, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role as VP of Member Experience and your path to Nationwide.
Yeah, I have... I stumbled onto Nationwide a long, long time ago, early in my career. I was between jobs and was taking some temp jobs from a friend of mine that owned a temp agency. And so she would send me on all the cool jobs. And she said to me one day, I have a meeting planner that needs help. And I thought to myself, what is a meeting planner? Like, why, how is that someone's job? And this was years and years ago. So the job was actually helping Nationwide with Primetime back in 2000. So it's been a long time, and I worked for Sterling Events, who has planned Primetime for many years. I worked for them for several years, took some time off, worked for a couple of other large third-party planning companies. And then I think in 2013 ended up coming back to North Carolina and working with Sterling Events again on the Nationwide Primetime show. And then as of last October, it's been just over a year, I joined Nationwide full-time.
I always forget. We are, you know, we started right around the same, I think within like almost the same week. So our anniversaries at Nationwide are basically the same. So happy just over 1 year as we're talking here.
Yeah, congratulations to you too.
Thank you.
It's interesting. We both were working with Nationwide in some fashion before we both joined the company. So we knew what we were getting into, and I was happy to join the team last year. So.
Apparently, somehow they convinced us, and you know, we drank the juice enough to, you know, decide to let's just dive right into the bowl. So here we are.
It's a really good group, and you know, I've worked for lots of different companies over the years doing events and incentives and planning, and there's something to be said about working hard for these independent retailers. It's a level of satisfaction, and they're hardworking, and we want to spoil them and do everything we can to help them. So it's a good time.
Yeah. And that kind of was, you know, leaning into where I was going next. And that's, you know, you mentioned it, your career history kind of has revolved around events and event planning, and you've seen a lot of events, I know. What is it, you mentioned working for these independents, what is it that makes Primetime stand out from other events that you've seen? Is it the independents specifically? Is there anything else about Primetime that sort of stands out?
It really is. It is the people. When we go to Primetime twice a year, not only our team and our members and even the, you know, our vendor partners, we all get re-energized and re-excited about kind of what we're doing. And it is a family. You know, every 6 months we get to kind of check in and see, you know, see how they're doing and see how their families are doing and see, you know, who's put on a few pounds and who's lost a little hair or the other way, who's, you know, okay, getting in shape. So it is a family.
Well, talking about, it's kind of like, it's been every 6 month reunions just about. So by the time we get in person again here after this whole COVID thing, you know, we're going to have a lot of different looking members potentially. So we'll see what it's like on the next time we all get together. It'll be interesting to see the before and afters. Well, you know, that kind of lends itself to where we were going next. And that's, you know, it's been quite the year. 2020 has been something to behold for all of us. I know all of our jobs have, you know, we've had to adjust on the fly. Our members have had to adjust on the fly, you know, and you've kind of gotten a front seat look at it, a front row look at it as, you know, VP of member experience. And, you know, before we get specifically into virtual Primetime, you know, kind of taking your meeting background, you know, with all these virtual events, what sort of been the big takeaway for you as to how the meeting industry has adjusted, you know, during these last 8-9 months?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's hit this industry really hard. And I have a lot of friends that are, you know, still hurting, and, you know, hotel partners and there's so many people in this business that it's really devastating when you sit down and think about it. On the other side, it has, you know, when we started back in March, when things started shutting down and our, you know, many of our members had their stores closed, we started doing more webinars. We did specific COVID webinars, and we did a Furniture Market Live event. And seeing the engagement from our members at that time was really exciting for us, because, you know, we kind of built this on, we get together twice a year and we have some regional meetings and stuff like that. But seeing how frequently we were all, you know, jumping on Zoom and getting on together, and seeing that level of engagement was exciting. There's definitely, virtual has definitely opened up a broader reach for us, for people that don't have time or money to travel. So that's, you know, that's a positive. The other thing that we've seen is, you know, we can put something together and execute it so much faster digitally than we could with a live physical event. So that really opens lots of avenues for us as well.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of saw it, you know, with virtual primetime, sort of the level of engagement kind of reaching members that maybe typically, you know, hadn't been able to get to a show or had, you know, in some cases, maybe never been to a show, kind of engage with the platform. So I know you talk about the potential to expand the reach, that that is certainly top of mind. You know, again, specifically thinking about virtual events, what, you know, the in-person contact, face-to-face contact is something that, you know, can't be overstated. You know, what, aside from trying to overcome that challenge, what have been some of the bigger challenges with virtual events, sort of, again, more generally speaking, you know, as they've tried to adjust to this new sort of way of meeting?
Yeah. One of our biggest challenges has been just keeping people's attention. So when you have someone travel with you to Las Vegas, you kind of have them captured there, and they really don't have anything else to do. So you get them up and feed them breakfast, and you take them on this journey all day long and try to keep them in the lobby bar at night and see how long you can keep them. When they are in the middle of their daily lives and working in their stores and have all of the other just distractions that life and work bring to you, it's a lot harder to get their full engagement. So that's been probably the hardest thing to plan for, and how we, you know, we did our virtual event. We've had a couple of, primetime kind of stretched out, because when we decided, when we realized we were not going to be able to have primetime in August in Vegas, we pushed it to October. And as soon as we pushed it to October, we said that our members need this buying time. They need this time to purchase, you know, and inventory was a challenge. So we wanted to make sure we still had that. So we had in August, we had our early access program, which was mostly just buying, where members could come and get deals and specials and cash back to solve that problem. And then the wrap up was the full primetime event in October, which ended up going all virtual as well. And there we were able to do more deals and specials and cash back, but also our education and also some networking. So it was more of a full blown virtual convention than anything we had tried in the past. So it was a bigger undertaking. But I think that we planned for 3 days for the virtual event, and it's hard to say even now. We still have our content on demand, so members can go back in at their leisure to see things that they missed, and they are taking advantage of that. But with everyone in their daily lives, it's hard to say what is the right time frame for a virtual event, like across time zones, when you make this event, this information available. So I think some of the things we're looking at going forward is, should it be smaller chunks or more bite size, and definitely on demand, because that helps everyone with their schedules. But it'll be interesting to see what 2021 brings in all of these virtual events.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're starting to dive into it a little bit with, you know, at the outset of this, there's so many different factors you kind of have to navigate and consider as you're planning a full blown virtual event, as opposed to, you know, some of the other, types of virtual events that Nationwide has held over the past couple of months. So, you know, as you're considering what a virtual primetime looks like, and as you were going into planning, you know, what was there one thing you were trying to accomplish, or how do you even kind of gauge what you want to accomplish when you go into planning such a different event that has never, I mean, it's a historical event because we've never had a virtual primetime. So, you know, how do you try to tackle that and sort of gauge what you think success should be?
We're still trying to work that out. You know, we're tracking all of our virtual events and saying, okay, what does success look like here? For our typical primetime show, you know, our goals are the deals for the members, you know, creating commerce, networking, and education. So those are the things that we kind of kept in front of us for this virtual event. And education was one that we really focused on because we had started the buying portion early, but we wanted to make sure that we got the education and facilitated as much networking as we could. So those were the two that we kind of leaned on going into it.
I mean, you talk about the networking, the platform, it's, you know, it was cool to experience the chat for anyone that was at Virtual Primetime. There's a lot of chat functionality, whether it was, you know, in the lounge, there was a lounge area. You can kind of say, I know we all weren't walking around like that behind you for those watching this on TV, but we weren't physically walking around a hall, but it, you know, it felt like you were still bumping into people in that lounge area. But then also, you know, in the booths at the, in the expo hall, there was, you could chat with the vendors there and, you know, other experiences like that in the network, in the education sessions. So, I mean, you know, talk about that a little bit, how we were kind of able to, you know, allow that networking to happen, even though it was in this virtual platform.
Yeah, we were pleased with the amount of chatting that our members and vendors actually did. There was both the, there were several options. There's a group chat that's available, like you talked about, in the lounge for any attendee. There were, in each exhibitor's booth, they had a group chat. Then you could also individually one-to-one private chat, text chat someone, or you could even video chat them, and you could, you know, you could call them in essence. So there was a lot of, there were a lot of different options depending on what you were comfortable with. We had, I would say it was some over, close to 50,000 chats initiated on the platform. So we were really excited by that number. And happy to see people chatting. When you're, I know myself, when I was in the platform, I would see someone's name or a comment by someone, and I, you know, you recognize the name and you're like, oh, you know, so-and-so is here. It's awesome to see them and kind of see what they're thinking. Not the same as face-to-face.
No, but you still, you still get that kind of like, oh, it's nice to bump into you feeling that you would get at a in-person show.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I, you know, I know chat is certainly, and that networking is one of the big things that you kind of want to, you know, as you're planning an event like the, a virtual event, you want to get right. Were there other aspects of Virtual Primetime that, you know, not to say certain things were more important than others, because obviously the whole overall experience is something you want to get right. But, you know, when you're thinking about the specific portions of Primetime, was there, you know, one or two things that you wanted to focus on to make sure we have to get this right to make sure that this event, you know, is what we want it to be?
Yeah. So like we said earlier, the education was important for us. The other piece is the exhibit hall and putting, getting our members, you know, close to our vendor partners, and facilitating those interactions. What we liked about the platform we chose is that it was very flexible. So, you know, our larger manufacturers were able to really customize it, and they could incorporate some of their really cool 3D, 360, in more interactive things that they had developed for our members. And then, you know, our smaller vendors also had the ability to customize it to them and link to things that that worked for them. You know, we had some exhibitors there that had, you know, 150 plus booth reps working our virtual event. And we have, you know, some smaller vendors that were, you know, frantically trying to get to all the chats and answer everyone with a much smaller staff. So it had to be flexible enough to allow success for every size of our partner.
And, you know, to that point, something I've heard from a couple of vendors, you know, one thing I think that was maybe different about the nationwide Primetime platform, is that, you know, the vendors weren't necessarily tied. Yes, they all had virtual booths and experiences that were part of the Virtual Primetime platform, but they weren't necessarily tied to the platform. You know, they could take a member if they needed to their, whether it was their website or if they had built a virtual presence themselves, you know, they could go experience that. And it was still, it still felt like a seamless experience as part of Virtual Primetime. Talk about that decision a little bit to allow vendors to not necessarily have to stay within this, the confines of this structure.
That's one of the things that this platform offered us, a little bit more interactivity than some of the others. Originally, I was not excited about vendors, you know, taking our members outside the platform and afraid that they may not come back or they may get distracted or something like that. But when you start to look at to see what these exhibitors are bringing, you want them to put their best foot forward and you want them to bring something cool and exciting to your show. So I think it's important that we had a framework that was familiar across all of our exhibitor booths. So our members could easily kind of look through, and it felt like once you got the hang of it, you knew what you were doing. But then also being able to jump into somebody's booth and see, you know, go to a 360 tour of their showroom, or see something more unique, or face-to-face meeting. I mean, I think that's what keeps it interesting, and also allows the exhibitor to put their best foot forward.
What was your, I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot of feedback from members about what they enjoyed most, and vendors as well. You know, what they liked best about it. What was your favorite aspect of virtual primetime?
That's a great question. I think that for me, what I was most pleased about is that what we were planning for, it worked, right? Like there were small hiccups and there were things that surprised us, but the platform held, our members showed up, our vendors showed up. Like we all, I mean, we had a good show and we had a good experience on the platform. Not having done a full convention on a virtual platform in the past, there were some times where I was kind of thinking, okay, you know, when you're face to face with a hotel and you talk to their team and you've had these conversations and you know you're in good shape, there's a certain level of security. When you're trusting a digital platform that, you know, now granted our partner was reassuring me and saying, you know, tell me about Ledge, but there's a lot of trust there that, you know, I don't have a lot of experience in websites and design and stuff like that. So there was a lot of just unknown there. So the fact that, you know, and I actually, I mean, even as of last week, I was on another virtual event and their platform crashed.
Oh no.
You know, there was about 13 minutes where they couldn't get it back up and running. So for us to have a great experience for both, you know, our team and our members and our vendors, that's a low bar, but
hey, but hey, you know, I mean, first of all, it wouldn't be a convention of any sort, whether virtual or in person, without, if there's no hiccups, then did you even have a show? For, you know, that's a question to ask, but you know, it goes to show that having that sort of, you know, experience where there aren't any nothing major, like that makes a difference. It makes a big difference to, there's no one leaving virtual primetime saying, oh my God, do you remember that thing that happened? And that's what they'll remember from the experience. So, you know, that's a testament, I think, obviously to the work that went into it. And of course the partner that we had and worked with. So, you know, it's something to look forward to. I think moving forward too is, you know, just the fact that, you know, we kind of proven that you can do it. It is possible to have a show like this that, isn't in person per se, but you know, it still had all the hallmarks. It had the cashbacks and Palooza even took off, and you know, we found ways to get giving involved as well. You know, the charity aspect, and you know, it still felt like a prime time. You know, for us, you know, we're heads down in it for 3 days, and everyone's still crazy. I consider, you know, my feet didn't hurt as much necessarily, but it still felt like we ran all over the place and I was as exhausted by the end of the day. And that's me. I wasn't as, you know, up from dusk till dawn as you on the platform. So I can just imagine, you know, kind of what the days were like for you. But
I heard that from several people that, you know, physically, you know, our legs aren't tired and we're not like just smack worn out from walking miles and miles in Las Vegas or wherever we are. But we were still tired from, you know, you get up at early in the morning. We had sessions starting at 7 o'clock most days. So you get up and you start working on these sessions and you're running around, you know, talking to members and talking to vendors inside the platform. And then, you know, seeing somebody and calling them on your phone or emailing. So there was a lot of engagement. And I got that from several team members. They're like, I've talked to more people today and I'm just worn out just from the sheer number of conversations, I guess. So that was good. A different feeling, but still good.
That kind of like lends to another question too, because I know, you know, virtual events, virtual conferences aside, I know something that's been a big talking point, you know, during this pandemic is virtual burnout. Is that something that you had to consider as you're going through this? Like, how do we ensure that members don't, you know, experience that as they're engaging with the platform?
Yeah, we hear that all the time. We're tired of Zoomies. There's something, there's such a, when you're on camera, just like for, you know, for my kids that are doing school through Zoom and stuff like that, there's being in a room where you're kind of all circled around something and not so directly facing someone, it is more exhausting to be, you know, wall to wall, you know, straight on. There's a level of, it's just more tiring. It's not as relaxing as a table full of people that you're having dinner with. So there's definitely a difference. And we did specifically keep our sessions shorter. We had some sessions that were 5 minutes, you know, they were just, you know, quick kind of update on here's, you know, so we did a short session on ART that was, you know, under 10 minutes where they just kind of explained that new tool. Most of our sessions in NLA were under 30 minutes. And that way, you know, we kind of keep that to a minimum. It's interesting that we've had members come back to us already and say, hey, can I watch this on 1.5 speeds? Because I want to see all the content, but I just don't have the time for it. you know, we are getting lots of feedback now from members on what we can do to make this better. And not saying, you know, we're hopeful for March in Denver. We really, you know, when Tom and I talked about it, Tom Hickman, and as soon as we do get back together with our vendors, we're going to have a great big primetime party. But until then, we do want to make sure that we have a way to talk to these members. And like you mentioned earlier, we had over 300 new first-timers to this virtual primetime. So these were members that had not been to a primetime in the past. Whether it was because of time or cost or whatnot, but they did come and join us at virtual prime time. So there is a, there's a place for it going forward. You know, a lot of people in my industry are talking about hybrid events now where you have the live event, but you also stream some of it to people that couldn't make it. So I think that'll be a big opportunity for us going forward. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what 2021 brings.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the feedback. We proved that the platform, like this type of experience, can work and it's great. But you know, you're always looking for areas and ways to improve. So you know, what are some of those as you start to think ahead to, you know, whether it is another full virtual prime time or the hybrids like you mentioned, you know, what are some of the things that you hope to improve on with the virtual experience?
So I think one of the things that we want to make easier is being able to chat and react to chat sessions better. We would see comments that we, you know, loved seeing and we weren't able to like them per se in the platform and stuff like that. So that was something that we thought was missing. The other thing is, you know, we had 134 booths, you know, maybe 70 or 80 sessions, you know, over, I think close to 3,500 people on the platform. It was a big event. So we need to find a way to make it easier to find the people you're looking for. So finding your exhibitors is easy because you go to their booths. But such a big part of primetime is the member to member, peer to peer interactions. So we want to really find a way to make that easier and make that happen faster. And maybe by using certain topics for lounges or something like that. So that's probably where our biggest opportunity is to make it better.
That makes sense. It kind of feels like adding sort of the more of a social networky feel, you know, like mm-hmm. a Facebook or, you know, you got your messenger on the side who you're not saying we're going to be friending members and vendors and things like that, but kind of knowing who your contacts are and having that sort of experience. That absolutely makes sense. And
the other thing we definitely want is we want, inventory was a challenge for our manufacturing partners as well as our members, obviously for several months now. We're excited to see what will happen when that's not a challenge. And, if we do have another event that is done virtually or done online, like we did early access or virtual primetime, to see how much business we can do.
I know that it was a very, members were very engaged. The inventory challenges aside, they engaged well with the platform. And I know a lot of vendors had reported, some record numbers in some instances. So to your point, when things are sort of back to normal or whatever a new normal looks like, it'll be interesting to see how much more, that this can sort of enable that type of experience and success for, vendors and members alike. So that'll be awesome. Yeah. But a lot to look forward to. And like you said, this is something that seems it's resonated, it's done well, it's gotten awesome feedback. And I'm sure, I know you're hearing it all the time and in different ways, shapes and forms. So we look forward to kind of seeing how it evolves and what it does to Primetimes moving forward.
Yeah, I think there will, for the person that for some reason can actually get to us in that space, I think there'll be an option for them to see parts of our show, obviously not all of it, but some of it, to see what they missed. I would be remiss to say if I didn't say, overwhelmed, we were happy with our event and we on all sides, we had a good show, but overwhelmingly, I hear over and over again, when are we going to get back to face-to-face? When is that going to happen? Tell me we're going to see you in March. Fingers crossed, and we can't wait to get back face-to-face with our members and our exhibitors.
Absolutely. Something to be said about those, whether it's bumping in on the show floor or the dinner meetings, it's missed. It's certainly missed. So I cannot wait. I know it'll be, you mentioned it, but it'll be quite the shebang when we do get all back together. And not to mention, looking at 2021, it's 50th anniversary for Nationwide. So, in some way, shape, or it was always going to be a big year for Primetime, but having missed at least one in-person opportunity, I can only imagine what a Primetime will look like with 50th anniversary and then finally seeing everyone again. So it'll be quite the year.
Yep. Lots of reasons to celebrate.
Awesome. Well, Mel, I appreciate you taking time and chatting on virtual events and Primetime and all the above and finally allowing me to get you on camera. So
yes, my pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Awesome. A huge thanks again to Melissa for taking time out of her schedule and finally sitting down with us on the podcast to share her thoughts, share what it was like to plan this show. And really, like I said, kudos to her for pulling off and having it be such a success. And the feedback still rolling in, sitting here as we record this early November. But just a wonderful experience it was. I know a lot of members had a positive experience, and knowing the work that went into it, many hours and days and weeks and months spent making sure that virtual Primetime was nothing short of a success. So appreciate her spending a few moments chatting with us, and as always, appreciate you listening to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.